on the novel is called Save the Village, and this little piece is called Olly Olly Oxen Free. The day after the bomb, everyone came out. The old commies with the berets and the onion roll breath. The artists in their ironically oversized polyester clothes from the Westbeth basement sale. And the young families with their titanium strollers, each the color of a different tropical fruit. The vegans came out with baba ganoush. At first, people stood or sat on the nearest stoops, but then a young enterprising dad brought down a shrink-wrapped pack of wood he'd bought for the country house and made a fire right in the street. "Won't the cobblestones melt?" asked the kids who'd gathered round. "Won't the fire spread?" No one knew. This had never happened before. Becca smelled wood smoke from the fifth floor, looked out her window, grabbed her father's old army blanket, and ran down. Mindy, the super's wife, and Ed from next door scooted aside to make room. And for a little while at least, the old-timers forgot to resent the newcomers, and the newcomers decided that maybe the old-timers weren't quite so moth-bitten and pleased with themselves. "We're like a page out of Jane Jacobs," said one of the hipsters. Food appeared like magic. Ears of Jersey corn from someone's freezer, chicken kebabs, a braided challah. In the middle was a stick of softening butter, and people were tearing off hunks of sweet bread and using the butter like dip. Becca placed her hands behind her right on the cobblestones. She felt the sturdy surface of the granite that was said to have been brought over from Europe as ship ballast. And in the spaces in between, she felt what might have been actual earth. And she had a strong sensation of sitting on her slowly spinning planet. The Jamaican babysitters who'd been invited to spend the night stood on the sidelines in their sensible heels and their tucked-in blouses. "Sing us a Jamaican song," said the young dads. "We've heard you sing lullabies. We know you sing like angels." But the good Christian nannies demurred, smiling at the very idea. The Maltese supers with their tinkling accents brought out a bocce set and gathered around with the Ecuadorians and the Mexicans. And then, when no one was watching, the Jamaican nannies conferred. They spread out in a line across the street, softly swung their hips in unison, and sang a song with a refrain like small waves lapping Caribbean sand. "Coming down with a bunch of roses, coming down." Everyone joined in. "All that's missing is a steel drum," said one of the young moms. And a few minutes later, there was a steel drum. And Dixie cups, a bottle of Bacardi, and a sweating carton of pineapple juice. And they all drank through the dinner hour until the past and the future grew soft and remote. Becca poked the fire with foil. Another dad brought out a stack of downtown yellow pages and threw them on the fire. The adopted Chinese daughters of the New York Times reporters down the block grew mesmerized. "Fire lettuce," said Sophie, and "fire potato chips." "Fire lasagna noodles," added Hannah. Sparks rose and joined against the sky, now a deep shade of teal. Someone produced a box of sparklers, and the kids ran down the street with crackling gold in their hands. Even the teenagers who ordinarily vanished at this hour into cyberspace or mysterious outings with unnamed friends stayed in view and helped. Tomorrow, their machines would whirr back into action, and all the little LEDs would glow. The culprit would be found, and repairs would begin. After all, if New York City's workers could clean up Ground Zero, they could certainly fix little old Washington Square. But right now, nothing was pressing. Tonight was a block party with no pod tie vendors or jury craft show. Tonight was a pre-cash society. One of the super's little boys crawled into Becca's lap, and she wrapped her arms around his soft belly and stroked his fine black hair. She'd forgotten how warm bodies are. She could feel Ed's bony knees on her right and Mindy's sturdy thigh on her left. And she looked at all the faces lit a soft orange from the fire, and she couldn't remember being so happy. The air smelled of roasting meat. Her face and chest were flushed, and her rear end was cold. And for a moment of grace, the two balanced each other perfectly. "This is the way humans are meant to live," she thought. close to the earth and the elements and each other. A log settled and sent off sparks, and everyone watched the sparks form lines of text in some gorgeous unknown language. The sky was having a sample sale of stars, beautiful white stars of all sizes, twinkling the way they did in the kids' song, the way they did in the ceiling of Grand Central. Then an ordinary fluorescent flickered in the distance, and everyone went still. "Ah, it's just a generator over at St. Vincent's, folks," said the know-it-all chair of the Community Board Land Use Committee. "Don't get your hopes up." But Becca wished the lights would never come on. They wrapped up the food, and someone dragged over a trash can and a garden hose and put out the fire. The street hissed, and a rush of smoky, butter-scented steam rose. The black air turned moist and white, and then the sound died down. The young families gathered up their belongings and went home first. Eventually, there was a caravan back to Becca's building. Carlos and Mindy and their kids, a few older gay couples, the single mom and her daughter. Is there any dark as absolute as a tenement hallway in a blackout? One by one, the neighbors exited the stairwell and groped their way down their halls to their own doorknobs. "Night," they called, each like a lighthouse keeper climbing the rocks for the night shift.
May I suggest to you, may I suggest this is the best part of your life? May I suggest this time is blessed for you? This time is blessed and shining almost blinding bright. Just turn your head and you'll begin to see the thousand reasons that were just beyond your sight. The reasons why I suggest to you, why I suggest this is the best part of your life. There is a world that's been addressed to you, addressed to you, intended only for your eyes. A secret world, like a treasure chest to you, of private scenes and brilliant dreams that mesmerize. A tender lover's smile, a tiny baby's hands, a million stars that fill the turning sky at night. Oh, I suggest this is the best part of your life. There is a hope that's been expressed in you, the hope of seven generations, maybe more. This is the faith that they invest in you. It's that you'll do one better than was done before. Inside you understand. Inside you know what's yours to finally set right. And I suggest to you, and I suggest this is the best part of your life. Comes from the west to you, comes from the west, comes from the slowly setting sun. This is a song how very short the endless days will run. And when they're gone, when the dark descends, we'd give anything for one more hour of light. And I suggest this is the best part of your life.
Jonathan Kuhn, singing a song by Susan Werner and Michelle Herman. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ooh, that was so good. Well, I have a suggestion from Grace Slick.
Mushroom.